By birth.
Janakaha.
Born uncommonly.
Not by the usual process.
Saha.
He.
Abut.
Became.
Vaideha.
Also known as Vaideha.
To.
But.
Videha
Jaha.
Because of being born.
From the body of Maharaja Nimi.
Who had left his material body.
Mithilaha.
He also became known as Mithila.
Matanat.
Because of being born.
From the churning of his father's body.
Jataha.
Thus born.
Mithila.
The kingdom called Mithila.
Yena.
By whom Janaka.
Nirmata.
Was constructed.
Translation,
because he was born in an unusual way, the son was called Janaka,
and because he was born from the dead body of his father, he was known as Vaideha.
Because he was born from the churning of his father's material body, he was known as Mithila.
And because he constructed a city as King Mithila, the city was called Mithila.
So can we repeat?
Because he was born in an unusual way,
the son was called Janaka.
And because he was born from the dead body of his father,
he was known as Vaideha.
Because he was born from the churning
of his father's material body,
he was known as Mithila.
And because he constructed a city
as King Mithila,
the city was called Mithila.
So we'll continue reading. There's no purport for a while. Text 14.
Tasmadavasustasya putrabhunandivardanaha tathasaketustasyapi divarato mahivate.
O King Parikshit, from Mithila came a son named Udavasu.
Mudavasu, Nandi Vardhana, from Nandi Vardhana, Suketu, and from Suketu, Deva Rata.
Text 15.
Tasmat Brihadra Tastasya Mahavirya Sudripita Sudriter Drishtaketurvai Hariyashvota Marustataha.
From Deva Rata came a son named Brihadrata, and from Brihadrata a son named Mahavirya, who became the father of Sudriti. The son of Sudriti was known as Dhritaketu, and from Dhritaketu came Hariyashva. From Hariyashva came a son named Maru.
Text 16.
Maru pratipakastasmaj jatha kritarato yataha divamittastasya putro Vishrutota Mahadritahi.
The son of Maru was Pratipaka, and the son of Pratipaka was Kritarata.
From Kritarata came Deva Mihita,
from Deva Mihita Vishruta,
and from Vishruta Mahadriti.
17.
Kritiratastatastasman Maharumacha Tatsutaha Swarna Roma Sutastasya Rashva Roma Vyajayata.
From Mahadriti was born a son named Kritarata. From Kritarata was born Maharoma. From Maharoma came a son named Swarna Roma. And from Swarna Roma came Rashva Roma.
Text 18.
Tathashira dvajo jagne yagyartam karshito mahim sita shira grato jata tasmat shira dvaja smitaha.
From Rashvaroma came a son named Shivadraja, also called Janaka. When Shivadraja was plowing the field, from the front of his plow, Shira, appeared a daughter named Sita Devi, who later became the wife of Lord Ramachandra. Thus he was known as Shivadraja. 19. Kushadvajas tasya putras tato dharmadvajo nipaha dharmadvajasya dva putra prithadvaja mitadvajo. The son of Shivadraja was Kushadvaja, and the son of Kushadvaja was King Dharmadvaja, who had two sons, namely Kritadvaja and Mitadvaja. Dvaja family. Text 20-21. Kritadvaja kishidvaja akandikyastu mitadvajat kritadvaja suto rajan atma vidya visharadaha kandikya karma tatvagyo mita kishidvajat drutaha Banu mams tasya putra vuch achata yumnastu tatsutaha. O Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Kritadvaja was Keshidvaja, and the son of Mitadvaja was Kandikya. The son of Kritadvaja was expert in spiritual knowledge, and the son of Mitadvaja was expert in Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Kandikya fled in fear of Keshidvaja. The son of Keshidvaja was Bonuman, and the son of Hanuman was Shatadyumna. Text 22. Suchistu tanayastasmat sanadvaja sito bhavat urjaketu sanadvajat ajotapuruchit sutaha. The son of Shatadyumna was named Suchi. From Suchi, Sanadvaja was born, and from Sanadvaja came a son named Urjaketu. The son of Urjaketu was Aja, and the son of Aja was Purujit. Text 23. Arishna name is Tashyapi Shrutayustat Suparshvakaha Tatashchita Rato Yasya Shemadhir Mithiladipaha. The son of Purujit was Arishtanami, and his son was Shrutayu. Shrutayu, we got a son named Suparshvaka, and Suparshvaka begot Chitaratha. The son of Chitaratha was Kshemadi, who became the king of Mithila. Text 24. Tasmat samaratastasya sita satyaratastata asirupa gurushtasmat Upagupto Agni Sambhavaha. The son of Kshemadi was Samarata, and his son was Satyarata. The son of Satyarata was Upaguru, and the son of Upaguru was Upagupta, a partial expansion of the fire god. Text 25. Vasvananto tatputro yudo doyat Subhashanaha Shrutastato Jehastasmad Vijiosmad Ritasutaha. The son of Upagupta was Vasvananta. The son of Vasvananta was Yuyuda. The son of Yuyuda was Subhashana. And the son of Subhashana was Shruta. The son of Shruta was Jaya, from whom there came Vijaya. The son of Vijaya was Vritha. Text 26. Shunakastatsuto yagye jagne vitaha vyodritistataha vahulashvo dritestasya kirtir yasya mahavasi. The son of Vritha was Shunaka. The son of Shunaka was Vitahavya. The son of Vitahavya was Dhriti. And the son of Dhriti was Bahulashva, the son of Bahulashva was Kriti, and his son was Mahavasi, Vashi. And finally, text 27. Ete vai matila rajanatma vidya visharadaha yugeshvara prasadena dvandvar mukta graheshvapi.
Shukadeva Goswami said, my dear King Parikshit, all the kings of the dynasty of Mithila were completely in knowledge of the spiritual of their spiritual identity. Therefore, even though staying at home, they were liberated from the duality of material existence. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This material world is called Dvaita or duality. The Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Anchalila, 4th chapter, text 176 says, Dvaite Bhadra Bhadra Jnan Sabda Mano Dharma Evala Emanda Esava Bhram. In the world of duality, that is to say in the material world, so-called goodness and badness are both the same. Therefore, in this world, to distinguish between good and bad, happiness and distress, is meaningless because they are both mental concoctions. Manodharma. Because everything here is miserable and troublesome, to create an artificial situation, pretend it to be full of happiness, is simply an illusion. Simply illusion. The liberated person, being above the influence of the three modes of material nature, is unaffected by such dualities in all circumstances. He remains Krishna conscious by tolerating so-called happiness and distress. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita in the 2nd chapter, text 14. Matra svarshas tu kontiya sitoshna sukadukataha agama pahino nichalas tansatikshasra varata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O Sahaya Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Those who are liberated, being on the transcendental platform of rendering service to the Lord, do not care about so-called happiness and distress. They know that these are like changing seasons, which are perceivable by contact with the material body. Happiness and distress come and go. Therefore, a pandita, a learned man, is not concerned with them. As it is said, gatasum agatasum cha nanusho chanti pandita. The body is dead from the very beginning because it is a lump of matter. It has no feelings of happiness and distress because the soul within the body is in the bodily. Because the soul within the body is in the bodily concept of life, he suffers happiness and distress, but these come and go. It is understood herewith that the kings born in the dynasty of Mithila were all liberated persons unaffected by the so-called happiness and distress of this world. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Dynasty of Maharaj Nimi. Exciting story. So Om Ganatya Madanda Shah Gananjana Shrakaya Jakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigarve Maha. So this is a very interesting purport. Of course, this is the very basis of our philosophy. You know, you're not the body. You're experiencing happiness and distress because you're identifying with the body. Give up the identification of the body and you don't experience happiness and distress anymore, at least in the material world. So, but it's a very interesting statement here that Srila Prabhupada makes based upon this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about so-called goodness and badness are both the same. This is very interesting. And this particular verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita is from the story of Sanatana Goswami's interactions with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And basically, to tell the story, is that Sanatana Goswami, he had a disease, something like eczema or something even worse than that. Because Sanatana Goswami had gone through the Jarakhanda forest on his way to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was actually escaping from prison. And when he was going through the Jarakhanda forest, he had drunk some water that was impure.
and having drunk water that was impure, he developed these sores on his body. And not only sores, but there was like pus oozing from the sores. Can you imagine that? You know, most of us, if we see someone like that, we just go, ooh, yuck. Okay. But what happened is that as soon as he arrived in Jagannath Puri, even in spite of his staying some distance away from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and trying to avoid Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's embrace, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forcibly embraced him, in spite of having what we would consider to be extremely disgusting. Like, I mean, I'll give you an example. The other day, a few months ago, they were fixing the septic area there and the back portion of the property. And it was smelly. And I was nauseated, disgusted, and, you know, basically I didn't want to shake the hand of the guy who was doing that. Wasn't going to embrace him, that's for sure. And it was something that just was so putrid. I mean, it just, like, the smell stayed with me for days, basically. It was traumatic. Because in this world of duality, one becomes repulsed by things like that. And on the other hand, just like that, just a few days ago, one of my disciples got a new car. I was very attracted to it. Very nice car. Nice smell of it. You know. It's funny. And I was thinking how nice that is, isn't it? So you get attracted, or just, is it? Yeah. Oh yeah, since I have my eyes fixed, I look at the sky. It looks so beautiful. I think, oh, how nice the sky looks. So this world of duality is like that. We're just like completely caught. We're not Samadarshi. Of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that we should become Samadarshi. Vidyavaniya Sampane Brahmaniga Vigastadi. Shuni Chayava Svapake Cha Paditat Samadarshi. Now, the learned and gentle sage sees all these different living entities. The dog, the dog eater, its cow, outcast, everything. He sees them equally. But somehow or other, we don't see these things equally. So anyway, so getting back to the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was forcibly embracing Sanatana Goswami, and the pus from the sores was actually going on his body, his transcendental body. So Sanatana Goswami was feeling so bad about this that he made several plans, you know, just to stop doing what he considered to be offensive. You know, because he thought, I'm committing offenses to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by doing this. So one plan was that he was going to jump under the wheels of the Rath Yatra cart during the ceremony. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sort of caught wind of that, being in his heart. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if I thought I could attain Krishna by committing suicide, I'd be prepared to give up this body, you know, many, many millions of times. I cannot do that. Don't you understand that your body belongs to me? Because actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, in one sense, the spiritual master of Sanatana Goswami. And he said, you know, your body belongs to me. I have many things I want to do with it. You're going to go to Vrindavan, you're going to establish the holy places, you're going to peruse the revealed scriptures, Nana Shastra Vichara Nakani Vinosa, Dhamma Samstapako, to actually establish eternal religious principles. So, you know, you're taking my property and you're going to dispose of it. And he actually asked another devotee, what do you think? He said to Haryas Thakur, what do you think of a person who takes someone else's property and misuses it? So in this way, Lord Chaitanya forbade him. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on tested Sanatana Goswami by calling Sanatana Goswami to come see him. And Lord Chaitanya was on the other side of the Jagannath temple. And it was very hot. It was during the summer. And there were only two ways for Sanatana Goswami to come to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One way was that he would go by the Singhadwara gate, the main gate of the temple, where the pujaris were going in and out. And Sanatana Goswami considered that if he went by that gate, the pujaris would be contaminated by his presence because he had all these running sores all over his body. And then he thought, well, there's another way I can go to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is on the beach, on the sand. And anybody who's been on sand, in Vrindavan especially, it's like that when you're going on the Giriraj Parikrama, and it's the summertime, and it's 50 degrees centigrade, it's like 120 something degrees Fahrenheit, the sand is like an oven. In fact, it's so hot, I don't know if any of you experienced Vrindavan in the summer, but it's so hot you can actually cook outside. It was Rudyard Kipling who said, the only people who go out in the middle of the day are mad dogs and Englishmen. So that's how hot it is. Mad dogs and Englishmen. That's an insult to the Englishmen. Sorry if any English person is watching this class. So Sanatana Goswami chose to go by the path on the beach, and he burns his feet, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, which way you come? And Sanatana Goswami had come by the path on the beach, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you got blisters all over your feet. And Sanatana Goswami said, I didn't want to offend any of the pujaris or offend the deities by contaminating the pujaris. So Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with him at that point. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to Sanatana Goswami why he was embracing him. And he had several different reasons why he was embracing him. One of the reasons was in accordance with what we're reading today. He said that someone who is Krishna conscious considers everything that is no relationship to Krishna, whether it's good or bad, to be an illusion. Like Rate Ritam Napratyeta, Napratyeta Chagami Tatayad, Abhino Mayam Yata, Abhasha Yatatama. That's one of the nutshell verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That one who is actually Krishna conscious sees something that's that has no relationship to Krishna, is Krishna's illusory energy, which is like a reflection that appears in darkness. Can you imagine a reflection in darkness? I mean, reflection is one thing, but a reflection in darkness has even less substantiality, less reality than a reflection that you normally see. It's just like, it doesn't mean anything, basically. So that's the nature of this world, that anything that is not connected to Krishna, whether it's, the smell of stool or the smell of frankincense, it's not offered to Krishna, of course. It's just the same. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, because I am a sannyasi, referring to himself, of course, because if I'm a sannyasi, if I considered your sores to be repulsive, if I was subject to that duality, I would not be properly executing my dharma. That's pretty amazing. Of course, that also means it's not only for sannyasis, because here it's described about the kings in the dynasty. And the kings in the dynasty of Mithila were not sannyasis, I hate to tell you. They were grahasthas. How do we know they were grahasthas? Even though their wives are not being described, does anyone know how you can tell they were grahasthas?
The sons are all described.
They had, yeah, their children. Unless they somehow or other churn their genes the same way. The same way that Nimi's genes were churned, which is not described here. But they were all grahasthas. Yet they were also equipoise. Ramabhuta prasanatma se shochitina kanchatik samak sarveshu bhuteshu madbhakti labhate param. So it's interesting. So anyway, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I wouldn't be a proper sannyasi or following the Dharma sannyasi if I distinguished between, pleasant, unpleasant, the sores or sandalwood pulp. Of course, Haridas Thakur at this point said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it's interesting also that Haridas Thakur was able to sort of correct Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a certain way. This is the, if you examine the relationship between these different devotees, and even devotees with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you'll find that it's a very intimate type of relationship that they have. It's not that they just sat back
and just looked at Lord Chaitanya and shook. Sometimes you find that, you know, with Prabhupada, many of the devotees were like shaking whenever they saw Prabhupada, whereas others, like Tamal Krishmar, sometimes they would even have a whole discussion with Prabhupada. By the word discussion, I mean sometimes they would have a different opinion. The word discussion actually has within it implicit that there is some other opinion other than one opinion. So anyway, so Haridas Thakur said to Lord Chaitanya, sort of correcting him, he said, what you're saying is simply external. And that's an interesting statement. What you're saying is simply external. In other words, he was saying to Lord Chaitanya, you know, what's the real reason that you are embracing Haridas, embracing Sanatana Goswami? I mean, we know that your Rupa Boy is, you know, you see pebbles, gold, and everything is the same. We know that. But what's the reason you're embracing it? And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke about his affection to Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami. He says to Sanatana Goswami, Haridas Thakur, you were like my children. And so, and then he described the affectionate attitude that a mother has. This is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He described the affectionate attitude a mother has towards her child. That the mother doesn't become resentful if the child, you know, passes still. Her children do pass still. They do have that habit. If the child passes stool or urine or anything like that, the mother does, and she loves it. I mean, not that she asks the child to pass stool all over, but anyway, there's affection because it's her child. And that's why it's very important for parents to bring up their own children, not hired surrogate mothers. There was actually a study done with monkeys, how they have these surrogate wireframe mothers. And they look like real mothers, I guess, and they had fur on them or something like that. But what happened is that children, monkey babies, when they grew up, they became, I guess, more dysfunctional than monkeys. I don't know what a dysfunctional... Yeah, actually, I do know what a dysfunctional monkey is. They began to fight with each other and had so many problems like that. Dysfunctional as far as their society, the society of monkeys is concerned. And we see this in some of the Eastern European countries, like Romania, for example, where the children were taken away from their parents. And they were just like warehoused, basically. They were put in lined up in cribs, and there was a, this is literal, it's not a figurative expression or description. There was like a tube of milk running down, you know, over the cribs from each, there were holes in the tube with little nipples coming down, and the children were sucking on the milk coming from this tube that was going through the room on top of the cribs. And so those children, they became extremely dysfunctional. Now that Europe has actually been united, that's the European Union is dealing, or the different countries are dealing with these dysfunctional children because of that. Anyway, so in other words, there has to be some love. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he loves his followers so much. This is also described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he tolerates him. This is Namo Mahavinaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namo Gurusena Dusena Maha. And he's so tolerant with us. Anyway, so Lord Chaitanya was describing this, and also at the end he was describing, because Sanatana Goswami was a pure devotee of the Lord, and just said a devotee of the Lord, his body was not material. So there were two internal descriptions of why Lord Chaitanya embraced Sanatana Goswami. One was that for his love for Sanatana Goswami, and the other one was that Sanatana Goswami's body, being the body of a pure devotee, was completely spiritual, even though it exhibited some symptoms that could have been termed material, but it was actually a spiritual body. So
Then another point Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made was that Krishna arranged, this is interesting, that Krishna arranged for Sanatana Goswami to have these sores, Lord Chaitanya said, to test him. Now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God. Certainly he doesn't need tests like the rest of us do, does he? I don't think so. He knows everything. Why does he have to be tested? And he's not being tested, really. But it was Lord Chaitanya was showing us that when we're confronted with the dualities of this world, that confrontation, you know, whether it's pleasure and pain, or you know, something disgusting, or something attractive, it's the world of dualities. I mean, if you think about it, you know, happiness, distress, summer and winter, just like, you know, just like sometimes you have this type of person called snowbirds. You ever heard of snowbirds? Snowbirds means like my mother. They fly south for the winter. When things get a little tough, okay, a little cold here, or whatever, then they go to some more pleasant place. And when it gets warm, they come back. Yes, it's a snowbird. So we have to see that the dualities that we're being subjected to, and we certainly are being subjected to different dualities, summer, winter, season, happiness, distress, heat and cold, pleasure and pain, people love us, people hate us. I mean, it's life. It's life. And so we just have to see that these are tests from Krishna, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated. He said, Krishna arranged these sores on Sanatana Goswami to test me. Lord Chaitanya was saying that. So we have to think like that too. Krishna arranges like, you know, some bodily pain or inconvenience to test me. And it's important to pass the test. And of course, sometimes people get bitter towards Krishna. I mean, I've seen people get angry. I mean, I just got it. Like I mentioned, no one here. They said, oh, I'm so angry. Why is Krishna do this, do that, do this to me? No, Krishna wants you to go above the bodily platform. So the way you go above the bodily platform is not simply tolerating. Because tolerating is one thing. But to actually think of the pleasure of Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees. It has to be done out of love, which is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited in this particular pastime. That because he loved Sanatana Goswami, there was no question of experiencing the dualities. So in the same way, if we love and are dedicated to the service of Krishna and Guru, then there's no question of being subjected to the dualities of this material world. And I was listening to some of the memories of Srila Prabhupada's disciples who were serving him. And some of the Sankirtan devotees describing how they did amazing things when Prabhupada was present. And they, out of love of Prabhupada, they transcended the body. I mean, just like when the 17 books were published in 2 months in Los Angeles, it was actually done out of love of Prabhupada. We actually transcended duality for 2 months. And of course, later on, we fell back into the illusion, which we're presently in right now. But we experienced transcendence. And it was out of love for Srila Prabhupada. We did that. So anyway, so that's how one can transcend duality. So, without further ado, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.